Daniela. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very weepy today.
Aw, why are you weepy?
I'm weepy in a good way because I feel myself, I guess, continuing to expand and open into this new me. So today I've always had issues with food and controlling eating and things like that, just as a way to fill, I guess, control my exterior, thinking it would control the interior. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I've been able to manage it, but it's still something that kind of bugs me once in a while. So I did some reflecting on it today, and since I've been able to balance my feminine and masculine energy recently, and I've kind of come into this new me where I'm open to freedom and I'm open to the new that's going to come into my life. I feel like it's finally time for me to dive into like the deep trauma, the deep wounds that came into my life when I was very young, causing me to find comfort in food. So I was able to understand the different parts of me that were being affected and honestly were protecting me. Like there's so many parts that came up to protect me because there was so much going on when I was young. And whether it be my household or my family or just other random things that I don't even know about yet, it was a lot for a 6-year-old to handle. And I was giving myself gratitude of, look at this smart little girl who was able to navigate the situation and bring me to where I am today. You know?
Yeah, that's such a good insight. And I think we've talked about it on a few different episodes, but I think a lot of control tendencies, OCD, and eating disorders, things like that, come from different parts of ourselves that are trying to control based on what's happening on the outside. And seemingly, sometimes people will just develop it, and they, quote unquote, haven't experienced any trauma or any type of feeling of trauma. But sometimes trauma can be the littlest things. It can be, something someone said to you, simple as, oh, you look so skinny in that dress, right? That can literally trigger a response like, oh, well, that means I have to, control what I eat or whatever to stay this way or whatever, right? There's so many different experiences that people go through. And it's great that you kind of explored that piece and component and are now letting it go so that you can truly live in freedom.
Exactly. I am so ready to live in freedom. You said it so beautifully, Daniela.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing. And I too have been trying to be way more free. In terms of everything in life, especially or anything around eating or anything like that, for me has always been a worry, not necessarily about maybe the control, but more about just feeling like I'm doing something wrong when it comes to eating because my body isn't changing in a certain way or whatnot. And so I mean, the past 6 months or so, I've just kind of let go of all programs around eating and I just eat whatever the heck I want. And I just trust, but there are things that come up inside of me where I get triggered because my body isn't necessarily going one way or the other. And so what I've been working on lately is fully accepting the me that I am right now and fully letting go of the old that I was, right? Because maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I was a size 4, but I'm no longer a size 4, and that's okay. And I have to accept the me that I am today and allow my body to transform in the way that it wants to for the new me. Because I also know simultaneously that this body that I am right now is not the new me. And that could mean that I'm smaller than I will be. It could mean that I'm bigger than I will be. Like, I just have no idea. So I also have to accept that I have no control and I have no idea where I'm going. I have to fully surrender into the trust of my you know, contracts and things that my body's meant to do. And I also want to say, for some reason, that sometimes our bodies have like roles too. Like, I know for me, my body holds a lot of different light codes and channels, like receives a lot of light to anchor into Earth, which means that some days I'm bigger and some days I'm smaller, because I'm fluctuating with the energies that are being sent, you know, down into me and through me. And I think that that's important for us to realize, that as light workers, we do have various days where we are up and down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to get to know my inner child a lot more, because I think she has a lot to say. And I'm excited to see the new you, whatever that is.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, I love your inner child. She's so cute.
I know. She's so cute.
She's really like bubbly. She's like so cute.
I know. She's like so innocent.
Yeah. She's sweet.
Yeah. And it just goes to show you, like what you were saying, what I'm saying, we just have to trust that the process unfolds in divine timing, and spirit knows more than us.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. And I think that this is a great place for us to be. I think we're coming to a stage where we're both falling into alignment with where we're meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So and today we have a guest that's actually able to communicate with spirit.
Oh, I'm so excited. Do you want to introduce him?
Yeah, I would love to. I'm pumped. So today we have Chris Lippincott. He's an international psychic medium and best-selling author. Chris trained with some of the world's most respected mediums, including James Von Prague, Tony Stockwell, Colin Bates, Andy Bing, Josef Siegel, and many more. And he's going to come tell us today about his awakening. He was aware of spirit as a child, but it wasn't until he had this profound spiritual awakening later in life that he began to connect with spirit and develop his abilities to communicate. So hi, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Danielle. How are you? How are you guys? Great to be here.
Hey, Chris. Oh, we're so good. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, my pleasure. I loved your discussion about the inner child. I'm just a child all the time anyway. So, you know, I act about 6 years old as it is.
That's great, though. That's the best way to live, right? Because you're seeing life from such an innocent point of view.
Oh, yeah. It really bugs everybody else, though. That's for sure.
They're just jealous. Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe like, they are. I don't know.
Play with me. Right? So, Chris, tell us a little bit about how you came to realize your gifts and what your gifts are.
Well, you touched on it a little bit. When I was quite young, probably 6 or 7, I was aware of spirit, but I didn't really know what it was. To me, what I was experiencing was what a lot of little kids experience, was just basically, you know, playing with imaginary playmates. To me, I thought these people that I could see, hear, talk with were just products of my imagination, because I was an only child and I was thinking, wow, I've got a great imagination. I'm going to use it. And this is fantastic. Hey, I don't have to call up any of my friends. I got my, you know, imaginary friends right here. And of course, I should have realized something when these imaginary playmates could talk back with me in full conversations. And I knew that they weren't 100% there. And it also kind of dawned on me that something was going on when at nighttime I'd feel in, you know, I'm lying in my bed and I was on my stomach and I would feel a hand on my back, which of course as a child just made me think, oh my God, the monsters are coming down to take me down to their lair. And I really got panicky, or I'd hear voices in the middle of my room, and I didn't have any siblings. My parents were at the other end of the hall. You know, we lived in rural Connecticut, so there wasn't anybody else around. So this was absolutely, you know, driving me, you know, practically insane. I'm feeling like effervescent champagne bubble energy wrapping itself around me when I was in bed sometimes. I just still didn't know what that was. And I just kept on asking it, you know, screaming, go away, go away, go away. And eventually it would go away. And as I started getting older, I started to get, you know, more logical, more materialistic. I started outgrowing my thoughts that this was, you know, childish stuff. So I just started, you know, repressing it, suppressing it, ignoring it. And for all these many decades that progressed, I kept on having this nagging feeling that I could feel people behind me. And I'd look around and sure enough, nobody was there. So I always thought I was like a an adult who had this fear of the dark. I thought I had some demented problem. I was like, oh, God, I need help here. And I kept on looking around. I could feel people around me. I could feel energy, but I didn't know what it was. Fast forward, I start working in finance. I start getting completely stressed out. I'm taking it out on my family. So I have to find a way to chill out. I got to find a way to calm down. So being the logical person that I was, you know, I started doing all this heavy analytical investigation. I eventually stumbled onto this one method of meditation that was something I could deal with. It was very matter of fact. No agenda. And I was like, all right, this is pretty cool. So I decided to start meditating for about 10 or 15 minutes every day before I went to work. So that way I could go to work, I could deal with work. And that was fine. So thing was, I got so hooked on this meditation process that I wound up doing it every single day for 12 months. And looking back on it, what apparently I was doing was literally sitting in the power, which I can get into later on, that helped me raise my spiritual acclimation, I guess, if you want to use a word. So by the end of that 12 months, I'm in my man cave, 30 minutes into a meditation, and all of a sudden, it's like I have an out-of-body experience. I'm like lifted up, out into the clouds, and right in front of me in my mind's eye, I see these four vague spirit people, two to my left, two to my right, and the one all the way on the right-hand side, much taller, much bigger. And he started to send this intense beam of energy right through my chest and out my back, which immediately told me I wasn't asleep. So I knew it was happening to me. But I could feel the beam, and it was this intense beam of love. And as that beam went through me, I kind of expanded even farther to, I don't know, universe, stars, wherever I was. And all of a sudden I felt myself expanding, and I felt myself become linked with everything at the same time. I was one with everything. I was basically a unity. I was a singularity. And simultaneously, I started feeling that everything was like a thread of love. I was love. I was loved for just existing. I was connected to love. Love resonated in everywhere. It was like I was breathing love. Love was just like the energy that existed everywhere. And what really threw me was I kept on receiving this feeling somewhere. I don't know where it was coming from. It just resonated everywhere that somehow I was perfect. And of course, as a human, I began to think, wait a second, I can't process this. This doesn't make any sense. I'm human. How can I be perfect? And it was just, I was flummoxed because I just kept on getting this overwhelming feeling of, and it goes beyond this feeling of unconditional love. It was more like unconditional love, acceptance, perfection, all wrapped up into one and then multiplied by 1,000. And eventually I kind of came out of it totally stunned. I had to sit in my chair for about 15 minutes and I ran over to my desk, started writing down everything I possibly could remember about the experience. And very soon thereafter, it's like the portal reopened again. All of a sudden I could feel these people around me. I could hear these voices around me. I could feel that tingling energy on my arms and shoulders again, like I had when I was a kid. Soon I started getting these incredibly vivid dreams when I was in my bed of people in my family who had deceased and started talking to me. And then I started hearing voices of people that I couldn't see. And I started really having problems. I started thinking, oh my God, I've gone off the deep end here. And eventually I started investigating it and doing more and more and more, analyzing it. And I started saying, I think I got to do something about this, and started studying it in some mediumship classes, because that's kind of how I started to realize what was going on. And as I started to take the mediumship classes, I started to realize, hey, this is something that's happened to me. This is an experience that I've encountered. And whatever has happened to me is not for me. It's to be given to others, because now I've connected to love energy that is meant to heal. It's meant to bring forth love and healing to the rest of the world. And that's when I just went in head first and just started learning everything there was I could possibly know and study from as many people as I humanly could connect with. And that's kind of how it all just started.
What wow. A beautiful journey.
Yeah. And it's just funny that, because as kind of a light worker, all of us are light workers, but I guess I could say that I probably could be like a medium if I wanted to at some point, but I definitely am not like a medium like you are. But it's interesting that like you had the experience of that energy exchange between you and spirit as a way to show you that it was safe for you to open up to your gifts.
Yeah, it was because if you remember, I was coming at it from the perspective of an analyst. I was a financial analyst on Wall Street. So I was the last person you'd ever expect who would be a medium, right? I was a materialist. I was agnostic. If I went to church on Christmas and Easter, I was lucky, you know. I was just not your typical guy. And so for the longest time, I kept asking spirit, "Why me? Why me? I'm not some guy who's off the Himalayan. You know, I'm some regular schmuck who walks, you know, and does all this regular stuff." And finally, they started beating me over the head, saying, "It's that very fact that you're the regular dude off of Wall Street that people can actually understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They can relate to you.
Yeah. And relate to you. Exactly. And the fact that, you know, like that gift is probably something that you've carried for many lifetimes, I would assume.
Actually, it's interesting you say that, because some of my mentors have pointed that out. They've done, you know, past life readings for me. And they've said that in prior lives, I've been very spiritual. I've been, in some cases, I've been a repressed medium where I was not allowed to give forth my gifts. And now it's come to a point where I have all the gifts, but I'm trying to get out and tell the world, because it was very bizarre. Sometime earlier this year, I believe it was this year, where all of a sudden it struck me that I had a mission that was way bigger than me. And it was a mission to help raise a spiritual awareness of like 1% of the global population. And I'm like, what? Huh? How do I do that?
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? There's no human on the planet that can do that. And it just like that was there. I'm like, oh, well, I got to do something. So I don't know.
And then you got into writing your book, which obviously I think was before that. But can you talk a little bit about your book and how that kind of came to light?
Oh, yeah, sure. The thing about the book was that I really wanted to get out my experience as to not only where I came from, my journey, and also sort of reveal the science behind spirit and the fact that spirit is always here, always around us, and the fact that our loved ones will live on forever because they are energy. We are energy. And so what I really tried to do is show that, you know, this was my journey. This is how it works. And here are all the examples through a series of readings as to what spirit is trying to say. So it really kind of came in three sections: journey, mechanics, and then, you know, in the words of spirit. And I think what's really so crucial about the book, in my opinion, was the fact that it really takes a lot of fundamental science, ironically, and uses science to prove the existence of spirit. And we're starting to see that more and more in quantum physics, for example, just looking at it from an energetic perspective, that we know we're all energy. Quantum physics has proven that 99.999999% of everything in existence is empty space, whether you look at it on a universal scale or a subatomic scale. It's all empty space. All that empty space is energy that's vibrating at different vibrations. And since energy can neither be created nor destroyed, it can only change form, you know, thanks to Einstein, we know that as we transition, that's all we're doing. We're going from one energy state to another, one vibratory state to another. We're very much like the ice cube, to go back to your high school physics, just different vibration. An ice cube is nothing but a molecule, series of molecules of water that's vibrating at a very low frequency rate, very low oscillation rate, all densely packed together. And so we're kind of like the ice cube. Spirit's very much like the gas, where the molecules are vibrating incredibly fast, and also they're very sparsely spread out. So you see the opposite extremes, but it's the same material. It's the same stuff. It's just transitions. That's all. And that's kind of what we do. When the body is no longer working, the consciousness transitions from one vibratory state to another. And that's, you know, why we're all still here.
Thank you for saying that. That's actually how I always described my belief in spirit, because I was like, if I'm able to have so much energy right now, where does that go after I pass? It has to go somewhere. And Einstein said it.
Exactly.
It's perfect. So what do you think, where does spirit live? Is there different dimensions? Is there different planes, realms? Like, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. One of the things that's so interesting, and between the time that I was that young kid who was having all of his, you know, fantasy playmates and dealing with spirit, but not knowing what it was, versus the time I finally had the reawakening, spirit was placing in front of me for a good 30 years all these books. And so for some reason, I was absolutely fascinated about reading everything there was about spirit, about the paranormal. And it was amazing that I started getting my hands on books that I normally never would have read. Clearly, spirit was dropping breadcrumbs in front of me for a good 30 years, right? One of the things I started to learn was there are thousands of books that are written by spirit writers. They're automatic writings that they've come back from spirit and have written through the hands of different mediums. We've got books going back 150 years, you know, to the present. And it's consistently written by spirit that there are seven different planes or spheres that are all based on vibration. So if you think of the Earth, for example, as the first sphere, each subsequent sphere is just another one that's just one more layer farther out. So if you want to use an analogy, think of it like a set of Russian nesting dolls with the Earth being in the middle. And then you've got each one is just another layer out. And each sphere, each layer, each level, whatever you want to call it, is a different vibration state. So the earth, the material plane where we are, is the lowest vibration state. And as you go to subsequently higher levels, your vibration state increases. And so what is often happening is that when a human transitions to the non-physical, we wind up transitioning to the level where we last had our energy state. So let's say that we were just the kindest, most loving person that went out to help everybody on the planet they possibly could. Let's say you're the Mother Teresa of humans, right? That's a really high vibration state. So your natural state as you transition would be to one of the higher levels. You might get to maybe level 5, level 4 out of the 7. And if you're a person who is just really mean, really nasty, doing mean things to everybody, then you're probably not going to get to a very high level. Maybe you'll get to level 2. But most people who are just trying their best, just kind of doing their every day, call it 70% of the people, will probably wind up somewhere in level 3, level 4. And level 3, level 4 are virtually identical to what we know as the earth. As we look around, you know, we see buildings, we see, you know, grass and trees and clouds, whatever. So when we transition to level 3 and 4, it looks almost identical. And they've got buildings and they create things. It's just not in a material sense the way we know it. It's more of an awareness. It's a consciousness. They create things through their thoughts. They do things for the pleasure of it. When they eat food, it's not because they want to fill their belly. It's because they want to taste the flavors of the food. When they want to build buildings, they build buildings for the pleasure of what it looks like, or maybe they feel comfortable in a certain style of house. And it's all done for thought, all done for pleasure. It's all done for joy. When they have musical concerts, quite often you'll have the original composer at the concert. But when they have these beautiful concerts, the music that comes out of these concerts contains notes and sounds that go far beyond what we're aware of. The sounds and the music has so many more intense layers and parts of sounds that we couldn't even fathom today. It's like we only have a limited scope of what we can hear. We have a limited scope of what we can see. For example, colors. They have colors that we don't even know that exist. The hues and the ranges of colors, just like the ranges of flavors. And so what often comes back is that spirit keeps on letting us know that they are now awake. We're the ones on the earth who are still asleep. We're dreaming. This is a dream state. This is an imaginary state. We're going along every day in a dream state. And when we finally transition, they finally wake up and they go, "Whew, that was a bad dream. I'm glad I'm awake now."
I like that description. I've always wondered about the limits that we have here in this plane, in the sphere, of the colors and the music and things like that. It just goes to show you, when we put limits on ourselves, we're not vibrating at a high level. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that's what happens to us all. We're all self-limiting. We're all limiting ourselves by our own beliefs, by our cultural beliefs, by our society, our, you know, systems. There's always a limit somewhere. And that's one of the things that Spirit has brought up in the past. They've said, if you only knew the power of your thought, you would be amazed, because Spirit obviously has no limits. They can do whatever they want because they're not physical. They can do whatever it is that they think. Whereas we here in the physical believe that we can't do something. Watch people, let's say athletes or supercharged executives or something, or anybody who just excels beyond belief. There I go, using that word. the reason they're excelling so far is that they believe they can. There's a famous saying that said that on a poster that shows birds flying and reads, "They can because they think they can." It's the power of belief. So if we believe we can, we can.
Beliefs are so strong.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I definitely believe that your beliefs can, or your beliefs, your thoughts can be, well, both can be like magic spells, kind of.
Oh, absolutely.
You can either put out really good things and attract really good things with your thoughts, or you can attract negative things.
Yeah. And in fact, Buddha once said, all that we are is a result of what we have thought.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that for a second. And that explains everything.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so good to think about reprogramming your thoughts to be more positive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's really part and parcel of the problem with the globe today is the way our thoughts have been programmed. Whether it's a child in a family where the family is constantly negative or yelling or whatever it is, the child picks up that attitude, picks up the thought process, picks up that feeling within the household of, well, this is the way my world is. So I guess this is the way the bigger world is, so this is the way I'm going to think. So they pick up this like automatic process. Conversely, you'll get the same, only opposite response from a child who's surrounded by parents who are incredibly positive. Child becomes incredibly positive. They become that quote unquote can-do kid.
Yep. I love that. The can-do kid. I think that we tend to go through various family dynamics, and as we mature and get older, gain more consciousness, we do have the ability to work on all that. And I feel like that's part of what our journey has been, is debunking and deprogramming the things that maybe we thought were reality, but it was just what we were living in at the time.
Right. So I was just going to say that goes right back to what you guys were talking about before, is the inner child. We're all programmed based on our inner child programming, and we spend the rest of our lives trying to get over it.
Definitely.
Yep. It's so true. Chris, can I ask you? Oh, sorry, Daniela, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, Chris, can I ask you something about seeing spirit? I've had an experience. I wanted to ask you a couple questions about it.
Sure. Love to.
So I started seeing spirit in 2015. I had woken up in the middle of the night and I went out into my hallway and there was a little girl there. And I kind of just walked past her and then went back to bed because I was like, I don't know what that is. But then I saw her again, and I didn't sense that it was negative energy. I didn't sense that it was evil. But I talked to Daniela about it, and Daniela was way far along in her spiritual journey. So she advised me to kind of tune in and see what this girl wanted. And apparently she knew I could see spirit and connect with her, and she just really wanted me to help her pass. She was almost stuck in my apartment. So I ended up doing that for her, and I never saw her again. And then I ended up seeing a couple other spirits throughout my house, a woman, an older man, nothing too terrifying. But then one night I woke up and I saw this floating head next to my bed, and it was terrifying. And after that, I immediately shut the gift down. I was like, there's no way I'm opening up again. So I guess for any Rosies that are maybe fearful of opening up to their gift, and maybe they know they can, do you have any advice?
Yeah, well, it sounds like first, like your experience was like with Sir Headless Nick from Hogwarts.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
But as far as people who have the ability to see, feel, hear spirit, but don't yet know it or don't yet know what to do with it, the first thing is to understand that you attract that which you think. So let me describe that. When you're thinking about love, when you're thinking in your heart about light, and you're thinking about helping and healing with that kind of attitude, and you're carrying that attitude around, that's all that you will attract. You'll attract to, and we were just talking about that. You attract to you that which you think. So if you're thinking all these beautiful thoughts of love and happiness and health and peace and how you can help others, that's what you're going to attract to you. So Danielle, in your experience, you were certainly connecting with people who were seeking the ability of someone who had that ability to heal, ability to love, ability to help. And that was what you certainly were attracting. Now, for those people who have the fear of, oh my gosh, I'm going to connect with something negative, if you're afraid you're going to connect with something negative, which I don't personally believe is going to happen, but if a person is concerned about that, then just change your mindset, because there is a universal law that states spirit cannot interfere in our experience, because that would be interfering with our free will. We are the ones that invite them in. So if we connect with spirit, and we're connecting with spirit people who are trying to help us or trying to, you know, connect with us, that's because we're inviting them in to our aura, our energy field. If people are having these really negative experiences and they don't like them, that's because they've inadvertently allowed them in. Who knows? Maybe they were playing the Ouija board and they just didn't know what they were doing. Or maybe they somehow managed to allow somebody in. So it's really a question of, what's your own filter? What's your perspective? What do you allow in? So that would be the first thing I would touch on.
That's a good point. I definitely saw that negative spirit before I really awakened. So I think now I'm way more full of light and love and healing and all that. So back then, maybe that's really what I was attracting, is this like negative toxic energy.
It's possible, yeah. And for all we know, it's maybe that person was actually a victim. So maybe we don't even know if that person was negative. It's entirely possible that that person who was just showing himself as headless was like saying, hey, look at how bad my situation is. Not quite sure why they would present themselves as headless, unless, of course, they want to go back to Hogwarts. I'm not entirely sure, but it is rather unusual for something like that to happen. I mean, I've heard a lot of people mention, oh yes, well, I've seen people, wearing dark clothes, or they look dark. Well, that's the color of their own energy, and we here in the physical can look at each other and see each other's energy. If you see light colors around somebody, that is a tip off to, hey, wow, that person's in a, not only are they in a good mood, but they're also in loving energy, light energy, healing energy, beautiful energy. Whereas if you're dealing with a person who is like really bummed out, really angry, really depressed, you're going to see their aura as brown, dark colors, maybe even black.
What is an aura?
Good question. Glad you asked. An aura is really one of the, it's the composite of seven energetic bodies that the human body is just one of. It's our energy compositional structure. The human and the entire spirit itself has seven energy bodies. The aura is the entire band of all of those energies that you can see. It reaches out upwards of 8 feet. And some of the closest ones that we see, closest to the skin, that's really where you see most of the color. The aura has everything from the astral body to the spiritual body and numerous others, but it will compose of the different colors and different energies that we're going to have that you'll be able to detect where the person's energy happens to be at any one time. So if you are looking, for example, at that individual and you see, for example, white around their head, that is very symbolic of something where the energy is connected to spirit, connected to a higher source. Think back to all those medieval paintings, those Renaissance paintings where you see people with halos around them. Why do they have halos? That's the painter capturing their aura, capturing the fact that the person's energy is connected to the spiritual, connected to the divine.
Ah, okay.
So that's how it all connects. And, you know, artists are quite often very adept at seeing through us, seeing all things about us. They've got a special eye. And many times they don't even realize it.
Wow. So if your aura extends upwards of 8 feet, is it spherical in all directions?
It's more like an oval.
Okay.
So it kind of surrounds you kind of like an oval from head to toe.
I gotcha. So if that's true, is it important to make sure you surround yourself with people of a similar aura or a positive aura or anything like that?
Well, definitely you want to surround yourself by people who have positive energy, light energy, loving energy, because you're influenced by others' energy just as much as you'd be influenced by the oxygen around you. If you have oxygen and it's not enough oxygen as opposed to, nitrogen, I think, is the balance. If you've got the wrong balance, then you're going to be inhaling the wrong stuff that you're seeking. Mm-hmm. So if you're connecting to somebody who's standing right next to you and they're all negative and bummed out, well, guess what's going to happen to you? That's going to rub off on you. It's no different than, the air you breathe, the clothes you wear. So yes, try to be very conscious about who you surround yourself with.
Interesting. I love being able to kind of scientifically explain how things happen.
Oh, that's the best part, because then you can actually put it into images. You can put it into understanding as opposed to thinking, okay, well, this is what, the great person up on the top of Mount XYZ told me.
Right. And it's like, if you're depressed, maybe you're surrounding yourself every day with people who suck the life out of you.
Oh yeah. Why do you think I was so stressed out on Wall Street? Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
It's like that movie Soul.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Disney movie Soul?
I heard all that.
I love that movie.
It's so cute. He's like the scene where it's the guy who works on Wall Street and he's like figures, numbers, and he's like typing on his computer. And then all of a sudden his soul comes back to his body and he's like, what the? And he like wipes everyone's desks off. He's like, I'm free.
Well, it's so funny because that kind of stuff would happen to me. I mean, I was an analyst on Wall Street. So obviously I was like at my computer all the time, typing in numbers, looking through stuff, blah, blah, blah. But of course, I'm also a Gemini, which says a lot. So then every so often, I'd like flip out, get out of my office, walk to the trading desk, and the other half of me would start coming out. And they're like, who's this? And I just started joking, and we would just like start cutting it up because I was like, I had cracked.
That's awesome. So, Chris, I have a question related to kind of everything you were saying. So I think, the aura, the connecting with different spirits. What if someone isn't necessarily open to their gifts, but they lose a loved one and want to try to connect with that person? Do you have any tips?
Yeah. If a person's lost a loved one, first off, they're going to be experiencing a lot of grief, which is going to affect their aura. It's going to affect their energy level, but that's to be expected. I mean, that's the human process. That's the grieving process. So the first thing I would suggest is allow yourself to go through and complete as much as you can the grieving process. Let the grieving process run its course as much as you can. You know, maybe that's, 9 months, 12 months, who knows, maybe 2 years. It's different for everybody. And no two people are going to have the same grieving process. So first, just allow that grieving process to be real, go through all the different steps of it. If you need help, by all means, seek help, professional or otherwise. And if they still want to then connect with a loved one, just know that their loved one, A, is still alive, still around. The way I always express it is, think of your loved one not off in some different universe, but just on a different continent where somebody snipped the undersea cable and they can't communicate with you anymore. You can't hear them, but they're still over there having a dandy old time drinking their margarita, and boy, they loving it. Now, you may not be able to hear them, but they're having a blast because they're with their family and they're partying like mad. But it's just the realization that they're still alive, still full of joy, and really want to communicate with you, really want to heal you, because that's what spirit does. That's what their communications with us is all about. That's what a reading is all about. That's why spirit connects with us. They want to bring through their transformative love and healing to us on the earth who are in need, because they always have a need. They come to us not because we necessarily want them to, but because they're here to meet a need. It's like the Rolling Stones said, you can't always get what you want, but you'll get what you need. And that's why spirit comes through, is to meet that need. And every single time I'm with a client, if the client is open, if the client is trying to be as joyful and as positive and open and loving as they possibly can, sure enough, their loved one comes flying in with the beautiful healing, the beautiful love. I mean, one of the reasons I do what I do is because I'm getting a piece of that healing. I'm kind of getting a piece of that love as well. It's beautiful. It's like I do it 24/7, 365, but I never get any sleep. So when people are looking to get some kind of connection with their loved one, by all means, keep open their belief that their spirit is still alive. Be very full of love. Be open. And also be open to the concept that maybe their loved one won't come through immediately. Maybe there'll be a number of other people who come through. Because again, it's spirit who is setting the agenda. They're the ones who are going to set the order. They're going to be the ones who said, okay, this is what we're going to say, because they've set it all up in advance. We're only the mannequins, and they're the puppeteers, right? So be open to that. And also, if your loved one doesn't come through for some reason, don't think it means that they don't love you, because they certainly do. It's just a matter of timing when spirit feels it's the right time for you. And also, sometimes maybe it's possible that spirit just wasn't ready. Maybe they had other things that were going on, and the timing didn't work. Doesn't mean they don't love you. Doesn't mean they can't communicate, because they certainly can. But there are other extenuating circumstances that we are not even aware of. So that would be my sort of short take on it.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Chris. And how can, from your experience, how are some different ways spirit communicates, like signs or feelings or all the above?
Yeah, good question. The way that spirit communicates for me, it's very much like spirit charades or Pictionary or what's my line? Because it's not like they can call up us on the telephone and say, hi, my name's John Smith, and this is exactly what I did in real life. So they kind of have to drop clues and hints as to who they are. So what we're doing is we're trying to see first who the communicator is. We receive all of their evidence and we start to build a composite of who the person is based on all the evidence that's coming through. And I'm getting images, I'll get videos, I'll get sounds or pieces of music or voices. I'll get feelings in my body. For example, I'll get maybe like a pain in my heart, or I'll get a pain in my lungs, or I'll get a pain in my head or my brain. I'll get a pain in different parts of my, you know, so different body parts will alert me to what the passing condition was. I'll also feel their personality traits, their different character traits they have. Were they funny? Did they love to go out and help other people? Were they outgoing? Were they gregarious? Were they shy? Were they withdrawn? Were they reserved? Did they have a short fuse? Did they get angry a lot? Did they work outdoors? Did they work indoors? All these different pieces of information start coming together, and it's their unique pieces of information that really set them apart. Maybe they'll give us a pocket watch with a time that reads 3:10. Maybe that was the time of passing. Maybe they're giving us a thick book in my imaginary hand, and I look at the book and I'm like, well, I know this is a very thick book and it's really worn really well. Feels like it's got a leather on it. And sure enough, I'll find out that, well, it feels like it's a Bible. It feels like it's a family Bible. Very. And so we just go down this process and we're like, this person who's coming through was really connected to their Bible, very spiritual. And they're, maybe they're showing us pictures of, you know, an altar or a cathedral or something. And they're coming through on these unique pieces of information constantly. It's almost as if they're standing at the police department on a suspect lineup, and we got to figure out, okay, what's so specific that's going to nail them, and we're going to be able to say that's the one. Maybe they got a scar on their head. Maybe they've got a limp when they walk. There was one man I can remember who made my left elbow really full of pain, and my left arm started bending and I couldn't bend it back down. And immediately the client said, oh my God, yes. And we immediately understood that that was her uncle. And it's like, you know, these uncanny things. And the one thing I've got to say about spirit is they are brilliant. Their intelligence is so huge. The things that they come through with and the things that they tell us are just absolutely just floors me every single time.
That's amazing. Yeah, they are super intelligent because they see things from a higher perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And they can, like you said, they have such freedom to just do whatever they want. But that makes so much sense. What about for the living, though? Like, how do they communicate to non-mediums? Like, are there ways that they subtly drop hints if someone's kind of connecting?
One of the things that they do is, since they are energy, they love to play with energy. That's one of the things they do most easily. And that's also one of the things that they really feel comfortable doing. You've probably heard of a lot of the things that they do quite frequently, whether it's playing with lights. Maybe the lights will start to flicker. Maybe lamps will turn on and off by themselves, or TVs or radios, or they're different things with your phone. All of a sudden, maybe your phone will start ringing with the person's phone number on it. You're like, how did that happen? All these bizarre, unexplained things that go on with electricity or anything with energy that defies rational explanation. Maybe objects move by themselves. Maybe a favorite object keeps moving back and forth. Sometimes you'll see a pet. Maybe a favorite dog of the, let's take an example. Maybe there's a man just transitions and he always sat in the same armchair night after night after night. And then his dog, his favorite dog, always just kind of just wander around. And then all of a sudden, the dog jumps in the favorite armchair and does not move, just doesn't want to get out because that favorite dog is hanging out with his favorite owner. And there you'll see animals start to do wild things. Sometimes they'll just stare into the distance like there's somebody there, and they'll be staring at like belt or like waist level. An animal will start to rub itself against some imaginary space, and you're like, "What are you doing?" Or maybe sometimes a dog will start barking at something, and we can't see it, but the dog sure can. Dog can hear it. I mean, they've got incredible senses. Same as cats. What are some other things that they do? Oh, clearly, when you're sitting in the living room, for example, and all of a sudden you feel this sudden temperature change. It can be quite subtle. Maybe it's just a little bit cooler or a little bit warmer, and it's on your face or it's on your arm. And you know it's not the temperature. You know it's not the the air circulating because it's very localized. It feels like someone's touching you. Or maybe you suddenly get this feeling of like goosebumps or an effervescent champagne-like bubble that starts to wrap around you. Like it feels like arms are coming around you. Some people say that they know that their loved one comes up behind them and this hugs them. They can feel the hug. And they can feel their loved one playing with their hair, stroking the back of their neck, you know, caressing them down their shoulder. I mean, there are these beautiful stories that come through. And you don't have to be incredibly connected as a medium to be completely aware and experience these things. It's really the love that is such an intense bond that never leaves us. It's that love that is so powerful that, especially between two people, that love is like so powerful, it never breaks. So as long as the love is there, you'll feel it, you'll know it, you'll see it. And that's kind of how people are experiencing these things by themselves.
Yes, I actually experience spirit in that way, Chris. So thank you so much for pointing that out. I actually, the temperature thing is definitely how I perceive spirit energetically. I'll feel colder. Yep. So I'll feel cold, like tingles, or I'll feel like a little breeze, like next to one of my shoulders. And for me, spirit always comes from the back.
Yeah. Yeah. Like exactly. And it's different for every person. Some it'll be coming from the back, other it'll be on the right hand side. Some it'll be just like, for me, it's like kind of off to the right and forward. So it's kind of at an angle. But for others, like for you, it might be it's coming from the back and sometimes it's from the side. It's each person is different and they're going to experience it in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what I do is I can always tap in and know who it is. And then I just ask, like, what do you want to tell me? Or like, do you have a message or something? So I guess for listeners, if you go through that, I guess, even if you don't have this quote unquote an ability to understand, I think you can get the gist. You just listen to your own thoughts. Sometimes that spirit communicating.
Absolutely. And one thing I would definitely say about that is, when we think that what we're experiencing is our imagination, it's not our imagination, because the first impression that you have that says, I think that's my fill in the blank, my husband, boyfriend, lover, family member, whatever, that's my blank, and I feel them, and then the next impression you get is your logical mind kicking in and saying, oh, no, that can't be right. So like the teacher that says, always go with your first impression when you're taking a test, exactly the same thing here. The same principle applies because it's all the solar plexus. It's your gut instinct. Follow that first impression. When you also hear things in your mind and you start thinking that you're hearing somebody talk to you in your mind, doesn't have to be physical. It can be in your mind, just like you're seeing something in your mind. When you start to experience that, you start to think that you're hearing somebody in your mind, don't say, no, that can't be right. Go with your first impression, because first impressions are always correct. And it's that solar plexus impression. And the reason you think you're dealing with your imagination. It's because they access the right hemisphere of the brain. The right hemisphere of the brain is the creative side, the imaginative side. So what they're doing is they're stimulating the right hemisphere of the brain, this creating all these impressions that you're feeling, the things you're seeing, the things you're hearing, the things you're smelling, tasting, knowing, understanding. That's all the right side. It's the left side of the brain that is very analytical, very logical. So allow that right side to fire first. It's also the part of the brain, the lower mammalian brain, that's very animalistic. Let that fire too, because those two pieces of the brain are going to let you know truly who's there.
That's such a good tip. It's almost like you can't, don't judge, just like let it flow.
Exactly.
Right. I love that. Yeah, for me, Chris, it's been important because I lost my mom pretty young. Well, for me, it was young. And I do feel her energy a lot around me and can gain messages from her. But one thing that I wanted to ask is, like, in the past, I've gotten frustrated by her because I felt like she was telling me these messages. And then I would get pissed off because I'd be like, why do you keep telling me that when it's not, like, real? Like, it's not the outcome that's actually going to happen. So, like, why are you navigating me down that path? And I wonder if it's because of the nature of the multidimensional reality that we live in, where, you know, maybe at the time it was a reality, but there was free will choices that had to be made that would, you know, change the path.
Yeah, and I would add to that that perhaps they're seeing it from different experiences, and they're also trying to get you to experience different challenges in your life or different paths along your life, where those additional paths, those different challenges that you are going to experience in your life are going to be things that are going to add different lessons, different growing phases, because that's how we all grow. That's why we're all here on planet Earth. We're in that Earth school to experience the challenges, and we can only learn through challenges. It's like, how do we best learn? We learn best by experience, right? So talk about the 5-year-old who keeps on wanting to touch that hot stove, and the parent keeps on saying, don't touch the hot stove, you're going to burn yourself and it's going to hurt. Of course, you know, you can 10 times and it's never going to happen, until finally that 5-year-old, sure enough, does touch the hot stove. Boom, screaming in pain. Are they ever going to do it again? No, because they've learned. And that's the way we work. That's the way we humans learn things. We have to experience them, and that's the lesson. So perhaps that's what your mom is, in a way, kind of guiding you towards.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, definitely.
Because that's why we're all here. It's like everyone says, why am I coming back to such a horrible earth? Why do I have to experience all these terrible things in life? You know, why is God so mean to me? It's not God that's mean to you. It's you literally planned all this out before you ever incarnated in the earth. We all set this up. We said, okay, well, I want to learn. I want to grow all these special attributes. And the way I'm going to grow these special attributes is by learning these lessons. So the only way I can go from class 2 to class 3 and advance is by learning the lessons. Well, let's take all the lessons. The only way I'm going to learn the lessons by going through the challenges, and by going through those challenges, I can go then on to the next grade. Right. So that's kind of the way we work.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. And the more we can understand that and realize that, the less we play in like a victim mentality. And we don't, you know, I think a lot of people have a lack of faith in the divine because of that, because they're like, well, what kind of, you know, God or angel or whatever would allow me to get hurt or whatever. And it's like, well, they're not doing anything, right?
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah. That's so perfect because, you know, take the example of where we're sitting in traffic and we're all getting frustrated in traffic, or maybe we're getting really furious at some terrible driver that cut us off in traffic or something, and we start yelling at him. Well, guess what? Things like that aren't random. It's actually little things like that that are intentional challenges for you to deal with. So you've got to step back a second and go, why am I experiencing this? What can I learn from this? What's the lesson to be learned from this? And then, you know, you can keep on going on a bigger picture. Let's say you've got some tragedy in your life, whether it's the passing of a loved one or, you know, a house fire or you name it, you know, fill in the blank. And you can get very philosophical and say, I am here because this is partly destiny, because I intended to learn this challenge and learn the lesson. So what lesson can I walk away from this? How can I learn from this experience? That's the big challenge.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that should be our homework, Daniela.
Yeah, totally. That's how you grow.
Yeah, definitely. That should be our homework. I think that should be.
So, Chris, every episode we assign some homework to the Rosies to do in the next week and just maybe connect more spiritually or things like that. So the homework should be take every experience as a learning opportunity.
Perfect. That sounds awesome. I love it.
Awesome.
I love that. Thank you so much, Chris, for coming on today. It's been such a pleasure to connect with you and talk. And I think, the mediumship aspect of my life, I feel, is going to expand sometime down the line in some shape or form. And I think it's so intriguing for me to connect with you and other mediums that are, you know, living this day to day and experiencing spirit in that way. And I think listening to you speak and your bubbliness and everything has been such a pleasure. So thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really love talking about it, and I love discussing the whole topic with you guys. It was so much fun.
Oh yeah. We loved this conversation. I know I'm speaking for both of us, but yeah, we kept you way too long. But Chris, if people want to work with you, how do they do that?
Yeah, it's a good question. If people want to get in contact with me, they can either go to my website, which is www.montclairmedium.com. Or if they want to drop me an email, they can do that at chris.montclairmedium.com. It's chris@montclairmedium.com. Those are probably the two best ways they can do it. Or if they actually want to get a hold of me on my business number, it's 201-578-6020.
Perfect. And I know you have some books out there that they can check out. And I think you have a Facebook group. And that's just facebook.com/Montclair Medium.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's pretty much the same thing for all my social pages. I got a blog, which is part and parcel of the website. I've got a book that's still doing well on Amazon. That's called Spirits Beside Us: Gain Healing and Comfort from Loved Ones in the Afterlife. And it's all about my journey. Also has a whole section on the mechanics of spirituality, mediumship. And it's got another third section that's all about the readings that people have had and what spirit has come to say. What are the messages? What are they trying to tell us?
Awesome. Well, Rosies, go check Chris out. He's all over the internet, so definitely check out his content. Thank you again so much for coming on and sharing your magic with us.
Well, thank you again.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Rosies.
Bye, Rosies.